the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets! Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy. Tis indeed another edition of this hashtag Tequila Thursday. Bartender, bartender, pour me an añejo. Stat of the Fade 5. We got a Thursday Night Football affair on Amazon Prime. Hi, Kenny Miller. How are you, our former amigo there at Altitude TV, running the show behind the scenes for that fine institution? We got Vikings. We got Eagles. It could be fly, Eagles, fly in this one. But whether it's in the NFL, Lundy, or Major League Baseball, honk, honk, let's hop aboard the Plus Bus. Give me your favorite longer shot wager on the board tonight. Plus 100 odds or greater. Serve me up, mi amigo.
I'll tell you what. Forget this starting off with my favorite. I'm making everybody stay until bonus time for my favorite bet of the night. Hands down, if I were in charge of this Fade 5, this particular bet would occupy spaces 1, 2, and 3. It is absolutely my favorite bet. I'm going to give it when we get to bonus time, and it's on the diamond for tonight. I will share that with you. But, Brad, by the way, there's only, like, I think FanDuel's the only book that actually has a line for the Bethune-Cookman-Miami game, by the way, which I'm not touching. I just think it's really funny that basically no one else gives a crap about that one. Bethune-Cookman, by the way, catching 51 and a half.
Wow.
As they go on the road against Miami, which I think is hilarious. By the way, that number actually opened higher and came down. So people wanted to apparently go with BC and take the points against Miami. But my favorite little plus odds to get us started, let's do a same game parlay for tonight between Memphis and Navy. Let me take you through some Thursday night AAC action. Nice and simple, same game parlay at DraftKings. This gets you to a plus 108. I'm going to bring the line, which sits at a flat 14. I'm going to take Memphis minus 9.5. I'm just going to bring it down and say Memphis just has to win by double figures. And then I'm going to take the total down to 41.5, and I'm going to play the over on that one. You put those two together, as I said, at DK, you're going to catch it at a plus 108. Couple of reasons why. Memphis has beaten Navy four straight, and they've covered in three out of those four. So frankly, folks, I don't hate the line at the 14 because I think Memphis is going to be able to get it done, but I'm backing it down for purposes of the SGP and trying to not get greedy. The only time that Memphis did not cover, you got to go back to the COVID time in 2020 when the final was 10-7. Okay. Memphis offense is much better than that this season. Veteran quarterback, spread things out, deep threats that they've got. And Navy is trying to add in some passing wrinkles to that traditional triple option. But so far through the first two games, that's a work in progress, okay? They're turning the barge, not a jet ski. It's going to take them a little while. So I think Memphis is going to be able to put up the points. I do think Navy's going to score, but I think Memphis will put up the points. I think they'll cover this by double figures. So again, Memphis minus 9.5, alt total there, alt on the overall total, over 41.5, plus 108 at DK.
I'm going to have more on that game and my own SGP variety in bonus time a little bit later on in the program.
And real quick, let me throw this out there just as a reminder to everybody. College player props are not legal in Colorado, which is, as you know, if you've been a fan of the podcast, you know that's where I'm sitting here in the fine Mile High City, which is why you never hear me throw out college player props for you, because I'm not eligible for them. They don't show up, and I try to live and die these bets with you guys, so I'm not going to throw something out there that I wouldn't also put my money on. So if you ever notice that I'm not using college player props, I just want everybody that's new to the podcast to know why, because Colorado is one of the states that doesn't allow it.
They do allow it, and I have plentiful options in that Memphis Navy game, but I'm going to go with some team props in that one in my SGP. Again, stick around, and I will reveal all the gory details in bonus time, but right now on the Plus Bus, honk, honk, let's go to the Thursday Night Football affair and give me Rashad Penny. Yeah, man, for your thoughts. Anytime touchdown, best odds right now in the business at BetMGM at plus
275. Yeah, get seduced by that juice. No Kenneth Gainwell. Remember, in uniform tonight, dealing with a ribs injury. He was ruled out late yesterday. Sure, DeAndre Swift is going to be part of this triumvirate backfield. Sure, Boston Scott is going to get some touches as well. And you have the ultimate goal line gremlin. His name is Hurts, Jalen, a guy who rushed for a pair of touchdowns when, coincidentally, this team met the Vikings back in week two of last year. But I think Penny is going to get at least 8 to 10 touches on the ground. Remember last season, as a member of the Seattle Seahawks, he was numero uno among all eligible running backs and qualifying running backs and yards after contact per attempt at 4.23. He is a Montgomery Ward chest freezer with feet, I like to call him. Big and bulky, can move some piles at 5'11", 220 pounds. And last year, too, he's shown he's got some electricity in those legs and some explosiveness. On the 57 rush attempts he had for Seattle, 10 of them went for 10 or more yards. So possibly could get a home run, that he could launch one over the fence and over the goal line, or take ball to belly inside the 10 and hammer one home. I don't care how he scores. Plus 275 if he does. And remember, Minnesota in week one, their rush defense in terms of EPAD ranked a mediocre number 18 in the NFL. So again, Penny, anytime touchdown, put it on the board. Yes! Hopefully that one will cash in early and the tequila will go down ultra smooth. As a result, with those bets on the board, let's get after it on this hashtag Tequila Thursday with another edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
All right, numero cinco on the countdown today. It's all Thursday Night Football all the time. Every single one of these wagers. I'm going to start off with a less GP and get some even Steven money plus 100 on the board as a result. It's all tight ends on this two-legger. Give me Dallas Goedert, who had one measly target. He did not catch a stinking pass despite running a route like 92% of the time in week number one. I need four receptions. I think he is going to get force fed to establish a rhythm between him and Hurts in this game. And give me TJ Hockenson, who is one of the rare fantasy football options at tight end that actually overachieved, I felt, in week number one. I need five or more receptions. So Dallas Goedert, four more catches. TJ Hockenson, five or more catches, plus 100 available there at DraftKings. Let me give you a little bit more background on Goedert. Minnesota. In week one, they only gave up a couple of tight end receptions for 19 yards on six targets. But again, he ran around 92% of the time. The coaching staff is like, we can't have him completely absent in the pass game. And we know that him and Jalen Hurts, at least last year, had a nice little rapport. So I think in a game that could be a high-scoring affair, total right now, most books sitting at 49, I believe Goedert will get those four catches. It could be a couple of receptions on the first drive for Philly in this game. Meanwhile, with Hock, a monster game, as I mentioned, in week numero uno, as he goes for nine targets. Wow, eight receptions and only had 35 yards. But, you know, again, focus on the catches there. Eight receptions, still a handsome result there, especially if you played in a fantasy PPR league. Philadelphia in week one, they struggled bottling up the tight end. They were targeted nine times. They gave up eight receptions for 92 yards and a score. So I think ultimately both of these tight ends will pummel the box score. Goedert gets four more grabs. Hockenson, five or more receptions. Both those events occur, plus 100 at DraftKings. Lundy, you temporarily disappeared on me there. Hopefully you're not going to do so on this wager. Fade or follow?
Well, so Goddard's going to appear again in the same gamer coming up here in bonus time. I'll share that one with you. So I'm going to go with you on the four receptions because it's going to tie in to what I'm trying to do when we get to the SGP coming up in bonus time. Hock always makes me a little nervous. As good as he is, you're sitting at five. At five, I can live with. Five, I can live with. Okay, I'm following on this one. Like I said, you had me at Goddard. For sure, just because I really need that guy to not do what he did last week and start throwing Krispy Kremes on the scoreboard. So I'm all in for that one. Hockenson, I get a little nervous. We may not get that fifth reception until late third, early fourth, but hopefully by the time the final gun sounds, we've got Hock comfortably there. Plus 100, solid plus odds. Good, simple one to dip our toe, because Brad and I sucked in week one, people.
Yeah.
We told you, we're always transparent. We own up to it. Brad, the NFL spreadsheet for me for week one, folks, get ready. You might want to get a bag handy. I was 1 for 12.
Wah! And I was equally wah! In week one, down 10 units. But let's get off on the right foot with this tight end SGP.
Number four.
Numero Quattro, the Fade 5 countdown on this Thursday Night Football edition. Get down with some A.J. Brown, and specifically on the over 25.5 yards for the longest reception. And if you use that 50% boost, if you opt in on it at DraftKings for specifically this matchup and apply it to this bet, it is a cool plus 125. And I say take advantage of that, would you kindly? You look at A.J. Brown. His longest reception in week one was south of this, but barely 23 yards. He had the 10 targets for 7 catches for 79 yards. So really an apple of Jalen Hurts' eye, and I think that's going to be the case working outside the hash marks along the boundary in this game. Remember last week, he still had a ridiculous 18.6 average depth of target. That was the fourth highest of any wide receiver in week numero uno. In terms of this 25 and a half, he went over this a number of times last season, specifically including the playoffs and that three-game run. He hit the over 13 of 20 games a year ago. Got to get my distant cousin, the Evans, who is defending there in the backfield for the Minnesota Vikings, maybe a little Byron Murphy as well. Evans allowed just a 6.0 yards per catch mark in week one. Murphy only 7.0. And overall, this Minnesota secondary only conceded 5.09 pass yards per attempt. But that was to the noodle arm Baker Mayfield. It does not apply to the howitzer that is Jalen Hurts. And you know he's going to take at least a couple of shots on some explosive pass plays with his long bomber specialist. And that is A.J. Brown. So, Lundy, you got to go JB on him with me and get down to some A.J. Brown on that over 25.5 yards, a longest catch with the odds boost at DraftKings and that profit accelerator plus 125. Good, sir. Fade or follow?
Oh, man. I just don't like this one. I got to be honest with you. I just don't. I know he's going to take the shots downfield. I get it. F it. He's got to be down there somewhere.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Devontae Smith's a little bit lower. I think it's like 19 and a half, 20 and a half, something around there in the low 20s. Would you rather have Devontae Smith on the over yards longest catch at a slightly lower rate or A.J. Brown?
Well, actually, I'd rather have the one that I was saving for bonus time, but you've already put me on the pedestal. So let me do a little early bonus time here for you. Here's the one that I like. And it's because of what I can get over at FanDuel. Okay. Dallas Goedert's longest reception at almost every book is 19 and a half. At FanDuel, it's 17 and a half, and I'm playing the over on that. Last year during the regular season, he did that in 8 of his 12 regular season games, and in one of the other 4, he actually had one right at 17. And he did it in one of the 3 playoff games, and in one of the other 2, he was right at 17. So I'm taking advantage of the fact that FanDuel is giving me a 2-yard cushion on that one, and I'm bumping it down from the 19 and a half. I'll take it at 17 and a half at FanDuel. So I know you brought up Devonta Smith. I know we're talking about A.J. Brown here. My favorite of the longest receptions is to take advantage of that 2-yard discrepancy, bounce over to FanDuel, and take Goddard.
All right, he's going to go Dallas Goedert, but I am doing the splits on a little A.J. Brown over 25 and a half yards, a longest catch.
Number 3.
All right, Numero Tres here on the Fade 5. Let's talk about the most prominent fantasy football name in this game. And you know, no knock on Jalen Hurts by any stretch of the imagination, or A.J. Brown, for that matter. You know, Jalen Hurts, top five guy at his position, A.J. Brown, top 10. But the top taco, you could argue, not only a wide receiver, but maybe in all of fantasy football, is Justin Jefferson. And man, did he detonate in week numero uno, going for 12 targets, 9 receptions, and a buck 50. Lundy, the over-under on receiving yards is available at FanDuel at 94.5. And dare I say it, I am fading JJ, who is not going to be dynamite in this game at minus 112 on that juice. Why? Big play Darius Slay is probably going to blanket and shadow him the entire game. James Bradbury is out. He is not going to play. They're going to slide one of their starting safeties into the quarterback position. Still a lot of talent, though, in this defensive backfield. Another concern that I have is the Minnesota offensive line could be down a number of starters in this game against an aggressive pass rush that the Eagles feature. So the heat could be dialed up on Kirk Cousins. Will he even have the time to chuck one down the field to Justin Jefferson? That is TBD. But even if he does, I don't think he's going to get there, because Slay only allowed 8.3 yards per catch in week number one. And we know he has been, over the last several years, one of the top cover corners in the league, and a guy, generally speaking, when you have a top weapon on the opposing roster, is very comfortable being an island corner and playing mano-a-mano defense as a shadow, as a potential shutdown. I don't think he's going to do that necessarily in this game, but I think his number's a wee bit too aggressive based on that explosive week one performance for Justin Jefferson. Remember last year, 12 targets, 6 catches, 48 yards against Philadelphia in week number two. So with all that information, Lundy, fade or follow? Am I going to sorely regret this? Under on Justin Jefferson, 94.5 receiving yards. Pulled that for FanDuel, minus 112. What you got for me?
No, but you're going to sweat, dude. You are going to see the Music Factory, this damn thing. You are going to be sweating this one tonight, because I think he's actually going to push right around 88 to 90. So you're going to be crossing your fingers that he doesn't wind up with something that gets him up over this number. So I do like it, because I think he's going to finish in the upper 80s is probably where he's going to finish out. So I will follow on this one, but I will tell you, it is one that I am damn nervous about, because I do think he is going to be really damn close to this number.
Oh, baby, I'm already pulling up at all the wrong places.
Number two.
Numero dos here on the Fade 5 countdown. Let's go with a kicker. Yes, they are people. They honestly do exist. And I'm going to go with Jake Elliott. Give me the over. Not on field goals made, but on PATs. Split through the uprights. So number sent at 2.5. A little bit higher juice at DraftKings at minus 145. But I am willing to slap the leather on this player prop, because I think this one is going to cash. You look at Elliott. A guy that last season was 53 of 55. So he did miss a couple extra points. Laces out. Whoever is holding the rock, and hopefully it's not going to get blocked, or, you know, it's going to be a wounded duck, hit the upright and rappel off of it. But as long as it splits through, he should be able to score this, because I believe the Eagles are going to score at least 3 touchdowns in this game. He went over this again last season in the regular season. So 17 games, 10 times. You look at Minnesota, 20 points to Tampa Bay in week number one. As I mentioned, just 5.09 pass yards per attempt, only 2.58 yards per carry the running back position. But in terms of EPA defense per play, again, they were just a mediocre number 18. And Mike Clay projected this unit to be a bottom half collective entering the regular season. So it's only a 1-game sample size. I'm going to gloss over some of the specific numbers that they allowed there, because I believe Elliott's going to hit 3 extra points, which he did in that matchup week 2 of last year against the same Minnesota Vikings team. So Jake Elliott over 2.5 PATs, minus 145 at DraftKings. Lundy, fade or follow?
I don't like the juice. I like the bet. I don't like the juice. How come we can't get caught? I need more money. That's what I need. I just told 1-12, Brad. 1-12. Yeah. 1-12. I mean, I feel like the Wicked Witch in the Wizard of Oz. I'm melting. That's what's happening to me right now. So I need more love than -145. Can't I pair this with something? Give me something with plus odds. Brad, I'm desperate. I'm on tilt.
Oh, man, find a way to SGP it somewhere. Maybe somebody offers it. Jake Elliott, whether it is a single wager, a leg of a parlay, or they take the over of PATs.
Number one.
Numero uno here on the Fade at Five podcast on the Sasha and Tequila Thursday. It hurts so good. Come on, Jalen, make it hurt so good through the air. I'm going to take the over 1.5 passing touchdowns, -120 available. Best odds at FanDuel Sportsbook. Everywhere else, this is way juiced up. I think the highest I saw was -145 this morning across the various books, this wager being offered. So FanDuel -120 right now. Take advantage of that lighter juice. Not quite seduced by the juice material, but still quite sexy. At -120. Hurts, I think, is going to do this with relative ease. Could actually hit in the first half. Remember, Mike Clay, as I discussed, preseason projected this secondary to be the 9th worst in the NFL. I think they overachieved in week one, giving up that 5.09 pass yards per attempt. 2-1 Baker Mayfield and just a .173 through the air. Evans specifically just a 42.4 passer rating allowed. Byron Murphy, though, he was targeted 5 times and he gave up 5 receptions. So he has that flammable ability. He may get burned in this game, whether lined up against Devonta Smith or A.J. Brown, or maybe Dallas Goedert gashes his defense across the middle of the field, which Lonnie and I wholeheartedly believe. Jalen Hurts was top 12 after week one in adjusted completion percentage and was top 7 in average depth of target with a 9.3 mark. He went over this eight times in the regular season last year, though in that matchup against Minnesota in week two, he had 1 passing touchdown and 2 rushing scores. And that's always a threat with him, is really the damage he can do with the legs. But tonight, I believe he's going to flex some muscle and go airborne for a couple of strikes to the end zone. Give me that over. 1.5 passing touchdowns, -120 at FanDuel. My top play, Lundy. Fade or follow?
I'll follow on this one, but I'm doing it somewhat reluctantly because there's part of me that believes it's going to be 1 passing, 1 rushing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That there's going to be one of those where he's rolling out and, you know, somebody's blanketed Goddard. He can't find him in the back of the end zone. And Hurts just says, oh, screw it. And he starts running. Like, I'd almost rather create out of this, Brad, an SGP for 1 rushing touchdown, 1 passing touchdown, and avoid this one. I think there's a great opportunity that he does. This correlates back to what you were talking about with Jake Elliott. And the PATs. So it could be that it's 2 through the air, 1 on the ground. But there is that part of me that gets a little bit nervous about him just winding up with 1. And then there's some other handoffs and things like that that wind up happening. Because you already talked about, I mean, look, we talked about Penny. We've talked about Jalen being able to do it with his legs. That's where I get nervous about the idea of 2 passing touchdowns for him. So I might find a way to involve 1 plus and make it into an SGP instead.
Yeah, hopefully he's going to flex that bicep, but not the quads. I mean, the guy squats beer kegs in the gym, but still, I'll take the over on 1.5 passing touchdowns. All right, Lundy, let's move on. It's bonus time. You appear to be curious because you have got a monstrous wager in Major League Baseball that you were highly confident on. And dare I say, I'm going to fade it because you're highly confident on it?
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
Chair.
No. Fade the shit out of it, Brad. The only advantage we've got is I talked about how crappy the NFL plays were for me for week one. But we've also joked here on the pod, if you're watching us on YouTube, we've joked about it here on the video as well, that you have given up on Major League Baseball. I continue to bet it, and I continue to make money there, thank God, because it's the only thing that is packing some money into my account, given the idea that I'm losing so much in the NFL. Before we leave the Thursday night game, though, let me throw something at you. I already gave you the over that I like on the longest reception for Goddard. Remember, I'm doing that one because of the two-yard cushion that FanDuel is giving us by having the number all the way down to 17.5. Brad, this one is not sexy, but at FanDuel, because of the difference in terms of the numbers that they give me that I can incorporate into a same game parlay, this one gets me to +116 on a four legger. And all of these are extremely achievable. Follow along with me, folks, with this one. These are all receiving yards. Ready? Dallas Goedert, 25 or more. And then Devonta Smith, Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, all of them at 40 or more. You with me on that? JJ, oh, yeah. AJ, Smith, all 40 or more, Goddard 25 or more, +116 at FanDuel. The reason I like that is if you go over to DraftKings, the lowest threshold that you can grab on some of those receivers is actually 50. But over, even though I do kind of like the 50 number for a couple of those guys, over at FanDuel, I can buy myself a 10-yard cushion, and on that four-legger, I still wind up in positive territory. So I would play that one, again, +116 at FanDuel. Now let me get to baseball for you, and I've got one pick I want to throw out first, and then I'll give you my two favorites. Over in the earned run category, shall we say, let's talk about, and some of these are early afternoon, so keep an eye out for it. Kyle Bradish over 1.5 earned runs as he takes on Tampa Bay. Same thing for Adrian Hauser, Milwaukee taking on Miami. Miami has only scored 3 runs in the 3-game series so far against Milwaukee. However, some of it has been dumb luck. In last night's game, they managed to get 8 hits, but they only turned it into a couple of runs. I think they're going to be able to do better than that. So again, if I take Hauser and I take Bradish, each of them over 1.5 earned runs, that one at DraftKings as a two-legger is a +158. Now my favorite one of the night, Brad Wilmer Flores of your San Francisco Giants will be just north of where I'm sitting right now to take on the Colorado Rockies as they get started on their series. Chase Anderson will be on the bump for Colorado, and Mr. Anderson is not good. He has, in 2 appearances against San Francisco this season, a 9.35 ERA against the Giants.
Oh,
it is
barf. Absolutely
putrid. Combine that with the fact that in his games against Colorado this year, Flores is batting a crispy .370, including going 3-for-4 with a home run last Friday against the Rockies. In 5 of the last 6 games he's played against Colorado, he's had at least 1 hit. And in fact, he's got at least 1 hit in 6 of his last 7. And in one of those, all he did was pinch hit. He loves playing the Rockies this season with his batting average. So we are going to cash on a +135 for Flores to have an RBI against those Colorado Rockies tonight. And he might do it with one swing of the bat and just send one over the wall because Chase Anderson sucks. Okay. So take advantage of it with Wilmer Flores. Again, he loves playing the Rockies. And remember, by the way, he was doing a lot of those hits by the Bay, where it's a lot harder to get hits. Now he's going to come to that expansive outfield of Coors Field. Good God, it's going to look like wide open fields in Western Kansas to him to be able to find open. So take it +135 on that RBI. And one other one that I found literally while we were doing the pod, Chase Anderson's over-under for his earned runs is 2.5. And the over is +115.
Wow.
Dude, I just told you guys, in 2 appearances against San Francisco, he has a 9.35 ERA, including the fact that he gave up 6 earned runs in 3 1/3 innings last Saturday to them. Do you hear me losing my voice telling you to follow? So everybody fade me because I love these bets way too much which means they are absolutely going to suck ass. But there you go. I yield the floor to the gentleman from Illinois.
No, just when you think I'm out, he's pulling me back in with Wilmer Flores and that Chase Anderson wager. Oh, that's delightful. I kind of like that. I might tell you on both those, they are on the diamond. All right, let's go to the team huevos. Parlay play of the day. I'll go rapid fire style. You don't need any context here, really. Devonta Smith, 50-plus receiving yards for all the reasons we mentioned earlier. A.J. Brown, also, same logic applies. 60-plus receiving yards. Jalen, hurts so good. Oh, Jalen, make it hurt so good. You're going to do so with the legs. There's an anytime touchdown. So if you're buying what Lundy is selling, one through the air, one on the ground, there you go. That is covered. And then TJ Hockenson will take it from 5 receptions down to 3 receptions plus 360. Oh, yeah, get Lucy with that juicy and gets seduced by it at DraftKings on that team. Huevos parlay play of the day. All right, elsewhere here in bonus time. Lundy, let's go back to the NFL. I got one more wager in that game that just showed up as we were taping the Fade 5 podcast this morning. I told you Rashad Penny's going to have a role. I think he's going to get around 8 to 10 balls to belly in this game. His rush yards prop is just 29.5. That is it. And it's a very low threshold for him to cross. And the best juice in which it opened at was at FanDuel on the over at minus 110. So I am locking and loading that and correlate, synergize, and bring it all together with that anytime touchdown that I talked about in the plus bus at the top of the broadcast. All right. I also mentioned I have an SGP in that Memphis Navy game. Here are my three legs. I'm with Lundy. I took Memphis down to -9.5 on the spread. I also have Memphis to score at least 24 points because the Navy defense has been lousy, north of 100 in pass DEPA. Number 103 specifically, Seth Hannigan, who's completed 73.6% of his attempts, should have a field night at home against the Midshipmen. And the Gibby Navy, because garbage time counts the same, they're going to score 10 points or more. I believe that. I know Memphis has been a top 5 defense, according to EPA. But again, they're going to have this game in hand. Maybe trot out some of the backups, and Navy will punch one in late, get a field goal at some point, and score at least 10 points. So Memphis, -9.5, Memphis, 24 more points, and Navy, 10 or more points, plus 110. Put that together at DraftKings Sportsbook. And then finally, oh, Lundy, you said I gave up on baseball. I turned my glove in. You're wrong!
Yeah,
I got a Kodai Senga wager because I have to. When I see Kodai Senga on the mound, this is an auto bet for me. All season long here on the Fade 5, you know what it is. It's strikeouts and it's walks specific to Senga. I say he issues at least 2 walks against Arizona and strikes out at least 6 Diamondbacks. You slap those 2 together. It's plus 110 at DraftKings. A little context here. Arizona number 18 and based on ball percentage here last couple of weeks and number 15 in K rate. Not by the barrel, but middle of the pack in both those categories. And Senga has hit both of these thresholds, 2 or more walks or 6 or more Ks in a start, 15 of 26 times this season. So there you have it. Cherry on top of the proverbial sundae. We are done here on the Fade 5 podcast. Do us a favor. If you enjoy this broadcast, drop us a little rate and or review, would you kindly? Give us some thumbs up there if you're consuming this bad boy on YouTube. Also, feed and follow us or follow us on the X/the Twitter at Nate Lundy in my account at Noisy Huevos. For the outstanding Nate Lundy, I'm Brad Evans. Until next time, feed or follow. That is up to you. Let's go, Rashad Penny.